Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Veranda Learning Solutions Limited Q2 and HY FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors LLP. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Soumya from Go India Advisors. Thank you, and over to you.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY 2026 conference phone call of Veranda Learning Solutions Limited. We have on call with us Mr. Suresh Kalpathy, the Chairman and Executive Director, Mr. Aditya Mallik, the Chief Operating Officer, and Mr. Mohsin Khan, the Chief Financial Officer. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risks pertaining to the business. I now request the management to take us through the recent business update. Post that, we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. On behalf of our entire leadership team, we truly appreciate your continued engagement and confidence in Veranda Learning Solutions. Today's discussion is crucial as it marks a defining inflection point in our growth journey. We're not only sharing quarterly updates but also walking you through a strategic realignment that positions Veranda for sustained profitability, sharper focus, and a global expansion under our Veranda 2.0 framework. So we have completed half-year with strong momentum focused on scaling student enrollments, expanding course offerings, and launching new programs both online and offline across the spectrum. Our Q2 and H1 FY 2026 performance has been exceptional, with top-line and bottom-line growth of 19% and 182% year-on-year in Q2, and 20% and 148% year-on-year when you look at the overall H1 numbers, underscoring the success of our continued focus on operational excellence and strategic expansion. All our business segments delivered strong results, and with the completion of the approval of the commerce demerger and occasional divestment, we're now better positioned to strengthen and scale our core verticals, academics and government as well. Over the past 4 years, as you all know, Veranda has built itself into one of India's most diversified education ecosystems. Our presence now spans government as well, higher education and academic programs, occasional and professional training, and importantly, the rapidly expanding commerce test preparation vertical. Each vertical has contributed uniquely to our growth story. However, the strategic maturity of our portfolio now allows us to move towards a simplified higher margin structure. As you all are well aware by now that within the restructuring, the commerce vertical has emerged as an exceptionally strong and differentiated business anchored by our flagship brands, JK Shah Classes, BB Virtual, Tapasya, Logic, and Naukar. Given its strong standalone momentum and profitability profile, our board approved the demerger of the commerce test prep vertical into a new entity, JK Shah Commerce Education Limited, to unlock long-term value for shareholders and enable independent scaling of both businesses. Collectively, they train annually over 2 lakh students, many of rankers since 2016, with a dominant presence across Western and Southern India. The overall entity will operate as a debt-free entity with full operational autonomy and an expected FY 2026 revenue of nearly 350 crores and an EBITDA of about 140 crores. Existing shareholders receive one share of JKSC for every Veranda share they hold, ensuring full value continuity. Equally transformative is the disinvestment of our occasional and skilling segment, comprising Brainforce Education Solutions Limited under the brand of Edureka, Veranda Higher Ed, and Sixth Phase to SNVA EduTech Limited, a global education and skilling enterprise. This transaction is structured as a share-based arrangement. SNVA EduTech will issue shares to Veranda and its subsidiaries, giving us a joint 50% stake in the new entity. This strategic realignment marks a leap forward under Veranda 2.0, sharpening business focus while retaining exposure to global education markets through this partnership. SNVA EduTech operates across more than 60 countries and owns universities and academic institutions in the US, UK, France, Italy, Malta, and Switzerland. By uniting Veranda's domestic strength with SNVA's international presence, this partnership creates one of the most comprehensive global education ecosystems, offering degree programs, diplomas, certifications, skilling initiatives, and across business, technology, data science, cybersecurity, and AI domains. The new entity is projected to generate over 250 crores in revenue by FY26, growing at a CAGR of 25%, with EBITDA exceeding 60 crores. Over time, it will pursue a separate public listing to unlock further shareholder value. This is both a divestment and a step up, converting our occasional portfolio into a globally scaled equity partnership. So with these two strategic realignments, the commerce vertical demerger and the occasional divestment to SNBA, Veranda 2.0 focuses squarely on key high growth segments, government test prep and recruitment linked training, academic test prep, and institutional partnerships. These are businesses with strong demand visibility, scalable cost structures, and steady cash generation potential. For Q3 going forward, our efforts will include enhancing faculty capabilities, driving digital-led admissions, strengthening partnerships with universities and corporates, introducing high-value courses, and optimizing marketing across all our functions. With these initiatives, we aim to deliver robust growth, improve operational efficiency, and create sustained value across verticals. I will now request Mohsin, our CFO, to take us through the financials for the quarter and half yearly ending FY26. Mohsin?
Yeah. Thank you, Tracy. Good afternoon, everyone. So let me walk you through the financial impact, as it has been a key area of interest. All of our segments continue to scale rapidly. To this thing, enrollments have grown from 61,000 to nearly 1 lakh this quarter compared to last quarter, with collections of around 173 crores compared to 137 crores in last quarter. Financially, our revenue for the quarter stood at 127 crores, up 20% year on year. Gross profit was 78 crores, translating to a margin of 61%, an improvement of 60 basis points. EBITDA came in at 48 crores, leading to a reported PAT of 97 crores for the current quarter. Despite a few one-time adjustments this quarter or the above divestment-related things, we maintain a positive trajectory with an adjusted PAT of 23.3 crores, up 185% year-on-year. This shows our continuous PAT positive quarter. Third, and our balance sheet remains strong with 224 crores of debt outstanding at an average interest cost of 14%. Cash flows and collections continue to be robust, and we are confident of achieving the revenue guidance of 650 crores and EBITDA of 170 with a PAT of 70 crores by FY26. So this is the guidance, and we are on track on achieving the numbers. So this is the key highlights for the quarter and half year ended. So we can open for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rehan Sayed from Trinetra Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. So my first question is around the demerger timeline that you have done. So you have indicated a 12-month timeline for JKSC listing. So what are the 2-3 biggest execution risks do you think which could stretch this timeline beyond guidance?
This is Suresh. Mohsin, I'll give some background. You could give the specifics. The demerger scheme was filed during the last week of September. After the filing, we have already received the first set of questions from both the exchanges, which have been duly answered and sent back to them. We have received a couple of further questions which are being answered and hopefully will be sent out before the end of this week. So from a perspective of having filed the scheme September last week, the responses we have got and the reverse that we have done and the frequency and the timeliness of the process so far, we feel quite confident that we are on track. Typically, it's about 3 months for getting a no objection from the stock exchange. So we expect to be able to get that by last week of December, which is about 3 months from the time we file. From that, another 3 months is what the time it takes with the NCLT to get it approved through the NCLT process. And after that, really, it's a listing and trading, which could be a couple of months. That's the sort of timeline we have indicated where we should expect to see it listed, traded around June last week, July first week. Currently, we seem to be on track. All questions seems to be quite normal for a process of this nature. A big help that we are having is that this is being done as a vertical split with a mirror image shareholding on both sides. So all shareholders equally benefit basis their shareholding on in the parent company, and then helping us significantly finding the process to be much simpler when compared to many other. So in short, its process is going on track. The questions that we have got from the exchanges, the responses we have given, all of it seems to be going as per the plan and very timely. Mohsin, you want to add something?
Yeah, yes, sir. So the timelines, I think, as Suresh has said, on track. We are responding to the queries and there is a proper to and fro communication with the both the exchanges. As I said, the shareholders did a plain vanilla demerger, saying that each shareholder of the Veranda listed entity upon demerger will get same shares in the resulting company. So stock exchanges are comfortable on this and they are asking queries on much other things. So we hope that this process will be smooth and by completing, as I said, June or July first week expected.
Okay, so just a follow-up on this on the capital allocation side. So with the commerce division moving out and free cash flows improving, so how is the board thinking about capital allocation? Is the focus on organic expansion, inorganic opportunities, or either balance sheet maybe increased? Like what management is thinking regarding this thing?
So from a so just to summarize, from the QIP raised, the debt that is there in the commerce vehicle has been extinguished. So it's expected to list as a debt-free company. The balance debt that would be there post the demerger in the residual business would be roughly about 150 to 160 crores of the overall debt that was given by Assertus. And there is some debt from the promoters. The residual company is expected to have about 50 to 60 crores of EBITDA for next year. That sort of puts it at about 2.5 to 3 times of debt to EBITDA for the residual business. Additionally, the current debt that we have from Assertus is a high cost debt. We are in conversation with a couple of public sector banks and fairly in an advanced stage of those conversations. So we expect to be able to refi this Assertus high cost debt with a low cost debt. So one is to bring down the debt burden on the balance debt that there would be there in the residual balance sheet. And also from a perspective that this would basis our EBITDA would be in the range of about 3 times debt to EBITDA. So it is expected to be comfortable in terms of being able to service the debt from even the residual cash flows of the non-commerce business. Additionally, going forward, all of the expansion that we want to do, both in the academic and the government tested businesses, will be asset light. So we do not expect to take any further leverage except to continue to deleverage our existing balance sheet.
Okay. Thank you for your detailed answer and I'll all the best for your coming quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Isha from BT Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is unmuted, Isha. Please proceed with your question.
Hello. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. So my question is regarding the managed school segment. Just wanted to know why has the academic side degrown and why are we seeing impact on the EBITDA margin?
As far as our academic business is concerned, it largely comes from about 5,400 students that we have. And these are students who study across 5 CBSE schools and 2 Cambridge International Schools. That's currently what's the size of the business. There is a plan to add more schools going forward into the future. The revenue streams that we get from our K-12 segment is largely steady state across months, except for the cycle of admission that happens significantly during Q1. And then, of course, we have a blip of admission that happens during Q2, smaller admissions that happen in Q2. Beyond revenues and EBITDA changes that come because of higher levels of admissions and slightly lower admissions that come in Q2. Generally, our academic business revenue and EBITDA is fairly steady state. Now, adding to that, expect our revenues to grow year on year to some extent of our EBITDA margins for two reasons. One, for instance, we are targeting to add another 7.5-8% more students into our existing 5 schools and 2 international schools next year. So the strength of students is expected to go up. Typically in a year, our fees goes up by about, again, 7-8%, depending on location, but average 7-8%, the fees also goes up year on year. So because of an increase in student intake, 7-8%, and a fee increase of about 7-8%, generally the top line moves up, the EBITDA margins also go up, and an EBITDA as a percentage of revenue also tends to go up marginally. So it's a very defensive line, most defensive line of business that we have, fairly steady state, and the growth comes because of fee increases 7-8% a year and a marginal uptick in students. The third key area of growth that you should see in academic that will happen is we plan to add more schools in an asset-light fashion, and that is expected to substantially grow top line and bottom lines because they will add to our existing 7 schools. So it is expected, it's generally a very steady state business. You will see some blips in Q1 and Q2 because of strong admission cycles that happens during the month of May, June, July, and a little bit around September, October. This is sort of specific to Tamil Nadu and Karnataka.
So, is it right to assume that in H2 we'll be back on track with a higher growth compared to H1?
Mohsin?
Yes. It will be steady state, and it will be again there will be a bump in the Q3. Again, it will be dip. So it will be streamlined as achieved target. So we'll be achieving it. I think if you have seen Isham, I think from H1 to H1 comparison, I think we have grown a bit up from 8 to 11 crores, 36%, and the top line also has grown in the segmental performance.
Okay.
Yeah.
So another question is regarding the cash flows. In H1, we are seeing negative cash flows. Any adjustments? Is it because of any adjustments? And if yes, then what would be the actual CFO that I should see in H1?
Okay, so there was one time event like we acquired JK Shah acquisition of a 100 crores payout during the current half year. we purchased 24% stake from the Mr. Jagesh Shah, and we purchased in the balance stakes from Veranda K2. So there were financial liabilities being written paid out in the current half year, which are non-recurring from next quarter. So next quarter onwards, I think the cash flows will be available for the in-house purposes, for the expansion and for the working capitals. EBITDA should flow to the cash flows.
Okay, sir. Can you specify the number if possible?
It has been displayed. I have to list it down so I can. Okay. It is there in the CFS. Yeah, because we paid some 6 people. It is publicly available in the disclosures. Yeah, like 30 disclosures.
Okay, okay. No worries. Yeah. And sir, my last question is regarding the CapEx. So as you are mentioning that the non-commerce side would be not seeing much of the CapEx, but on the commerce side, what are we expecting CapEx in coming 1 or 2 years, given the additions of colleges, the centers that we are targeting to achieve and expand?
This is Ajit.
So,
yes, great. Yeah, you can.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you, go ahead. I will add a few things to you.
Sure. So, hi, this is Aditya. So, what we are planning from a growth perspective in the commerce segment, there are a couple of initiatives which we are already working on and they are well on the way. First, as you rightly said, is the expansion of colleges. And when I say colleges, it is both junior colleges and degree colleges. So, in the current year itself, we are adding couple of other college campus colleges in under the brand name of Tapasya between Hyderabad and Bangalore. We'll be kicking that off this year so that we can take admissions in the next academic year. Apart from that, what we are planning is a clear expansion, especially in Maharashtra under the Jekesha brand. So as you would know, Jekesha brand is fairly strong. So we are looking at starting with junior colleges and we are, Mumbai is the first market we will be starting with that. And then at the right time with all the statutory approvals going for the degree colleges there. So that's from a college perspective. Apart from that, we will have expansion of DB Virtual, which is the online arm for the coaching classes. In terms of earlier, they were teaching only a select few papers for CA coaching. Now we have only started offering more because now with Jekesha faculty being available, that becomes a large pool to offer all courses, including the foreign courses like ACCA, CFA, CMA, and other domestic courses like CS, etc. So that's the second phase of expansion, which means online expansion for all courses under the BB Virtual brand. And lastly, across Jekesha classes, Navkar and Logic, which are our center-based coaching from a commerce perspective, we have already launched foreign courses like ACCA, CMA, CFA across a couple of centers last year. This year, as we speak, the focus is on expanding that pan-India across all the 100-odd centers we have, so that will become a steady revenue stream because that has pretty much revenue and revenue coming through the entire year. So these three, expansion of colleges and degree colleges, both under Tapasya and Jekesha name, expansion of BB Virtual with more foreign courses and other domestic courses as well. And lastly, expanding foreign courses to pretty much all the centers under Jekesha, Navkar, as well as Logic. Srish, you want to add something else?
Yes. So all of this expansion would be done in a very asset-like form because all premises, whether it is for junior colleges or for commerce colleges or including offline centers that we establish, all of which will be leased premises. So our investment would only be to the extent of a lease deposit and working capital that we might need in the first year of operations. So all expansions will be asset light as far as the commerce segment is concerned, be it expanding junior colleges, commerce colleges, or our offline centers, including for launching new programs online, given that most of the faculty pool is already available within the ecosystem. almost all content is available within the ecosystem. The incremental investment, if at all, would be only in terms of faculty, and that would come more as a revenue expense rather than an investment.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Darshil Jhaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon. So hopefully I'm audible. Hello.
Yes, yes.
Firstly, congratulations on a great set of numbers, sir. I just wanted to know, sir, just one small clarification. I think in the guidance that we mentioned, could you just repeat that? It was 650 crores in revenue, and what about EBITDA and PAT, sir?
180 crores, sir. EBITDA and 70 PAT.
Okay, this would be the reported numbers, right? Like,
Sorry? After rent,
that's yes. fair, that's yes. fair, sir. Yes. And so, sir, just wanted to know, like, when, so next year we'll see the benefit completely of the, you know, lower finance cost because of our QIP days. So I just wanted to know currently, like, so any kind of guidance you want to give for FY 27, sir?
FY 27, so it will be...
So for FY27, basis our reported numbers, I think one of the key changes that will happen is we'll start reporting as two independent entities, as we had mentioned. So we expect the listing of J.K. Shah Commerce Education Limited to happen by end of June, July 1st week. So that would report separate set of numbers. The non-commerce business will start reporting its separate set of numbers. So for FY26, the guidance, as Mohsin had mentioned, is for the combined entity that we are projecting. But going forward, this will become two different entities. Now, for the commerce part of the business, it is expected to get towards 200 crores of EBITDA. The finance cost is not expected to be there because it's going to be demerged as a debt-free business. As I mentioned, the all expansion is asset light. So investments will happen in lease deposits and possibly some bit of working capital in the first year of expansion, be it in terms of commerce colleges, junior colleges, or online course expansion or offline centers that are being established nationally. From the non-commerce part of the business, that's expected to achieve about 50 to 60 crores of EBITDA for FY27. As I mentioned, it will carry a residual debt of about 150, 155 crores of residual debt, which will be carried by the system. Currently, the residual debt is from Assertis, which is a high-cost debt. We expect to switch it from a debt from a public sector bank, with whom we are in advanced stages of conversation. So the cost of money is expected to significantly come down. So from an EBITDA perspective, about 50 to 60 crores of EBITDA that we expect to see from our government as prep and academic. The cost of money is expected to come down from about 17% of the Assertis debt that we have to probably a high single-digit debt that we will have. So the cost of money is also expected to significantly come down. Obviously, it will not be debt-free like the commerce vehicle. But as I mentioned, we expect the debt to EBITDA to be in the range of about 3 and be in a high single-digit percentage cost of debt annually compared to what it is now.
Correct, sir. That helps a lot, sir. And sir, just wanted to know, like, so currently I think we have a finance cost of around 20 crores for the quarter. So that would include, that would be currently high cost debt, right, that we are carrying, right, sir? So that in Q3 itself will reduce, or what is the timeline for that, sir?
We expect refinancing to happen in Q3. I'm not able to put an exact date to it, but I would think it will happen in December of Q3.
Oh,
In
yes.
Q3, the cost of money might not significantly change, but you will see it dramatically coming down in Q4.
Okay. So Q4, maybe Q4 onwards. Why I was asking that? Because, you know, that would impact very positively to our PAT numbers also, that's why. And so just wanted to know, like, currently our run rate for our non-commerce segment is around, I think, EBITDA of 16 crore for the year, for half yearly. So what gives the confidence of, you know, being able to reach 50 crore? Because that would indicate a significant leap, right, sir?
So as I mentioned, from an academic part of our business, the increase comes from a higher student intake, maybe about 7-7.5%. We expect the fees to go up by about 7% to 8%, which annually happens as far as school fees is concerned. So that is expected to help move the EBITDA of the academic part of our business to around 27-30 crores. As far as the government prep is concerned, this year has been a good year. There is significant plan to expand deeper into Kerala, where we are integrating the brands that we have there. And there is also a plan to expand our offerings, as far as Tamil Nadu and Karnataka markets are concerned. So it will come from expansion into new courses, consolidation in couple of geographies across brands that we own in the government test prep, and that is expected to probably give us again a 25-30 crores of EBITDA. So roughly equal contributions from both academic and government test prep. In academic, coming from expansion of student intake and increase in course fees by 7-8%. As far as government test prep is concerned, consolidation in couple of key markets, introducing a few new programs that is in the anvil for being launched, and of course, about 6-7% increase in fees.
Okay.
So equal parts coming from both of them.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. And so just wanted to know in terms of how we account. So currently we have seen a really great jump in our enrollments, right, sir? So that revenue will start coming in a bit later, right? Because they would have just given us the fees and they are, you know, the course would just be starting. Or how would that, you know, be? Because our enrollments have jumped from like 62,000 to 108,000. So just want to know how would that fees, you know, be accounted for? How would that, when would that start flowing, sir?
I'll take it up, sir. Yeah. So, we can see in the balance sheet, so there'll be a deferred revenue accounted. So our movement of deferred revenue is bit same. So actually, as per June, deferred revenue was 101 crores. As of September, it is 94 crores, which means that we already have a pipeline of 94 crores for the current year in the top line, which will stay. For example, Q3 will start all the batches for commerce, government, which will recognize revenue in Q3 and Q4. So the movement is not so heavy, so it's like a cycle we have.
So
if
you look,
yeah, sir.
If you look at the collections we had system-wide in Q2, it is probably one of the highest this company has had in its history. We collected about 173 crores of cash. But as you mentioned, these are accounted as advances received, and the revenue recognition happens over the duration of the course. So this 90 to 100 crores of deferred is really advances received. Collection has completed, revenue is yet to be recognized, and you should see that coming in strongly in Q3 and Q4.
Yeah, I get that. So no, just wanted to understand, like, so example, when I see in March, we had 117 crores that, you know, maybe we had to, you know, collect. And right now you're saying it's around 97 crores. So, So ideally, when the enrollments are going higher, right, so our, you know, deferred revenue should be higher. How would be correlated? Because we see such a big jump in enrollment, will there be a commensurate jump in, you know, the revenue that's going to flow in maybe in the future, maybe? So just that's what I wanted to, you know, understand. How would we see the jump in enrollment, and how do we link it to, you know, jump in revenue for our commerce segment, sir?
So couple of factors you need to consider, because last year our online revenues were minimal because DB Virtual really got consolidated only in the last quarter, given that it was acquired late during the last financial year. This year it's a significant part of our revenue. Now the online programs comes as live, and the online programs also come as, you know, USB sticks that we sell, which is recorded, where the students can watch it 1.5 times. Now, the revenue recognition for that is slightly different compared to a live program. So if we do a live online or an offline program which goes for 6 months, then the revenue is recognized over the duration of the course. So there you will find that our deferred revenue is higher, because usually students pay in advance, but the revenue recognition happens later. So that leads to a higher accumulation of deferred. But when we sell the USB sticks, which is basically recorded programs, the revenue recognition is significantly accelerated because we have already sold the product. The student can see it 1.5 times over the next 3 months or 6 months, but our revenue recognition is accelerated to the point of sale. So that reduces the deferred revenue that we capture, where the collection becomes almost the same as sales. So you will see that our deferred revenue, when we offer live, online or offline programs, deferred revenues are more. When we are selling recorded programs, the revenue recognition is accelerated. So you will find that the deferred revenue has come down. Our EBITDA and revenues have gone up this year. It is exactly because of the fact that the mix of programs that are recorded and sold is now a significant part of our business, because DB Virtuals now is part of our business for the full 12 months compared to the last 3 months that we had in financial year 25.
Okay. That helps linkage a lot. So, yeah, that's it from my side. So thank you so much. All the best, sir.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipesh J. Sancheti from Manya Finance. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible? Hello.
Yes, you are.
Okay. Now, just first sort of question is regarding how will the management rationalize the corporate overheads and the shared costs between Veranda and newly demerged JK Shah Commerce entity?
Mohsin?
Yeah. So there has been reduction in the corporate cost rationalization, sir, actually. For example, when compared to last financial year, we had 24 crores of corporate cost annually, which has been reduced to 15 crores already, which means that already rationalization of corporate cost has been happening. And also we have moved all the respective finance teams, management to the respective segment verticals. So most of the corporate cost sitting now is like a management level, which will be absorbed by the respective segments on a revenue sharing or a cost plus markup basis, which has to be studied with the help of outside consultants, which will be planned in the future. But limited point that there has been a rationalization in the corporate cost, which you can see in the roughly which I will discuss, share. We are on that.
Just to add to it, currently while the scheme has been filed, the commerce business continues to be part of the overall business. Post the demerger, for instance, the commerce business under JK Shah Commerce Education Limited will have its own finance, will have its own secretarial department. And basically what that means is cross-charging from Veranda non-commerce to the listed commerce business will not be there. So currently, while the demerger scheme has been filed, it continues to operate as one company. So the finance, secretarial, all of this is a shared cost at this stage because it is still part of the same listed company. Post the demerger, that teams will be formed and there will not be any cross-charge from non-commerce to commerce.
Okay. Also, can the management outline the expected EBITDA margin tractions for each vertical post-demerger, especially considering the commerce vertical's guidance of 135 to 140 crores EBITDA contribution for FY 2026?
So traditionally, we are trading at a margin of 35%. So over the next three, if I say to you, next 4 to 5 years, we plan to reach at 47%. So almost because we.
Repeat the number. 35% you said, right? 35.
Yes.
Okay. And will it reach to around 47 or 42?
46%-47%.
47. Okay.
Yes. Because of the online model increasing and we're going to a satellite model, colleges expansion, which break even over the next 4 to 5 years, we are expecting to achieve these numbers.
Okay. Okay. And what will be the reinvestment strategy for the surplus cash flows generated post the debt repayment and the demerger?
I think, as Aditya was saying, that it's more into expansion of the centers with the satellite models on the lease deposits and working capital. More onto that. Not on acquisition side, anything, nothing else. Only on the internal expansion and CapEx. Not anything else.
Okay.
So just to add to it, as you mentioned, it is asset-light. So mostly lease deposits and working capital during the first year when it is required. Additionally, the system will build a significant cash pool to buy out the residual stake from businesses that is expected to happen in the next 5-6 years. So for instance, in BB Virtuals, today we own 51% in the commerce vertical. Balance is expected to be bought in the fifth, sixth, and seventh year after the first acquisition. The company will, based on its cash flows, will have enough cash to acquire all the residual stake from internally generated cash. So some part of the cash pool will be set aside for balance of residual stake buyouts at those respective points in time. Some of it will be invested, as I mentioned, in lease deposits and a bit on working capital for expansion of our junior colleges, commerce colleges, and offline centers. And the rest will be available as a war chest for us to aggressively expand into newer identified markets.
Right. And what will be the ROE for each company post-demerger? ROE, as in the sense, what will be the target ROE for the going forward?
I'll take it up. So currently, we are trading at 12% ROE, sir. Okay. The target is next 3 years to make it happen to 24-25%. The reason I will say why it is at such high, the reason being the acquisitions which we did in past 3 years were at the multiples of 8-10. That's the reason there is a ROE of 10-11% trading now, which the target is by 5 years to take it to 30%, by 3 years to take it to 25%. So we are in trending in that way.
This is for both the companies or only
both
the
companies? Both the companies. Group.
Okay. I'll come back in line for more questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, kindly limit your questions to one per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Aditya Raval from Exponential Research Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah. I am audible?
Yes, you are.
Yes. Good afternoon. My question is, the government test preparation segment performance remains weak, with revenue decline 28.8% year-on-year basis. So please elaborate this question?
Academic, or you are saying governmental? Sorry, government has increased from quarter on quarter from 2023 to 2033 stagnated. It's been the academic is the one which has been reduced. You can see.
Okay.
Yeah, academic because of the I think at least Suresh explained because of the admission season it's a skewed business. Otherwise, our academic government SPF has been increased from quarter, last Q1 23 to Q2 to 33, 43% uptick. Because of the notifications in Q1, the deferred revenue has been come to Q2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Athar Sayed from Smart City. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, sir. Athar Sayed here from Smart Sync Services. Thank you for the opportunity. I have one question related to this. Like, how many colleges do we have under the name of Tapasya?
Aditya, you want to take it?
Yes, I will take that. So, so we have 15 campuses as of now, 15 colleges split between Hyderabad and Bangalore, offering junior college as well as degree courses in these two cities.
And about this enrollment program, I have a question. Like you mentioned in your press release, we got many students from word of mouth. So do we have this refer and earn program, like one if one student refer another student, so they will also get some benefit? And if yes, how much benefit they will get from us?
So that, yes, we run referral programs across all our businesses. In fact, as you would know, in the education segment, it's a pretty common way of enrolling students. Not because purely most of the people don't come only because of financial reasons, but anybody wants a reassurance from a friend and family that what course they are going through is good for them to enroll. So that's, yes, so referral is a big program. Amount varies by course, but what we have seen as a trend in our this thing, as I was explaining to you just now, it's more about reassurance and getting the idea about what they want to do. That becomes the driver. Amount just becomes incidental. But we offer those amounts, but they vary by course and by segment.
Okay, sir. And just last one thing. Like, can you please repeat guidance for revenue, EBITDA and PAT for FY27? I missed it actually.
Sorry, I missed your question. Sorry.
Guidance for FY27, revenue, EBITDA and PAT.
I think yes, I think two FY27 are averaging 250 crores for whole company, including commerce, vocational, government, everything.
250 crores? Sorry, 250 crores.
EBITDA.
Okay, and PAT.
Sorry to interrupt, Athar. If you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Henil Bagadia from Equicorp. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I hope I'm audible. So I just had one question. I just had some questions related to the academic portion. So we did have plans to add about probably 4-5 schools per annum. So I mean, what actually didn't work out, why we were not actually able to add schools, and since we are targeting 10 schools, that's increasing it by another 3 more schools. So what's led to the reduction in the number of school ads, and will this be more on the CBSE side or on the Cambridge board side?
So the plan is to add more of CBSE schools than Cambridge schools. The plan continues to be there to add more schools. I think the only pivot that we are doing is we have been in conversation with a couple of REITs who are willing to fund our expansion into larger schools based on a REIT model. And so it is currently being evaluated to understand which one is the best approach. for instance, the difference is the approach through a REIT will allow us to set up larger schools. The plan is to use the existing schools and expand in zones around it. So if we have 7 schools, we'll probably have 3 or 4 schools into each one of these schools, under each one of them. So expand the schools around our existing points of strength using the REIT model. And so the plan continues to be there. The plan continues to be in terms of achieving our EBITDA targets. But we are evaluating a model as to whether we do it through acquisition of 4 or 5 small assets or a single large asset through a REIT model so that we continue to stay asset-light. So while we are planning to add school, the target that we have to achieve our EBITDA continues to be the same. We are only looking at whether we want to do it through smaller schools or setting up larger schools. Now, as far as this
place, yes, sir.
The expansion will significantly focus on CBSE schools rather than international schools. There will be few international, but largely will be CBSE.
So if we actually see, if we have the entire backend curriculum and the entire stack, so do we plan to do something on what the lead schools have done? I mean, use the backend curriculum and the digital curriculum offerings to the existing school network, and probably on a future date, it will be easy for us to convert those schools into our brands. And I mean, we also have the REIT model and structure in place also, so probably we can get some private equity, some investors per school, etc. So I mean, do we have any thoughts on that side? Because that will help us scale up the entire segment quickly. And if we actually see the segment, I mean, a lot of private equity players are sitting at 50, 100, 150 schools. I mean, from 5 to 30 on a near date and probably larger. I mean, something like this could probably help us.
Yes. I think from a perspective of having a set of schools which can potentially be converted to our own in the future, this provides a good pipeline. I think the only reason we have not gone too deep into that model is to understand what is the receivable cycle from schools. I think that's the only thing that's sort of holding us back, because from what we have seen in the past, typically if it's a 15-20 lakh type of billing that you do on a per school basis to provide content and curriculum and faculty support, the cycle time it takes for us to receive the money as being some cause of concern, ability to collect from schools. So we are looking at it. We have significant strength in terms of the content that we own, the pedagogy and the faculty that we have. Our K-12 team is close to 500 people. So it's a significantly strong team that we have. We are trying to evaluate whether we go the lead type of model that you mentioned. Our only concern there is the receivables and the cycle time it takes to collect the money. So from profitability, it looks good. From a collection cash flow perspective, sometimes it's been a strain to go behind schools and collect the money.
Yes, that's a good thing. Then lastly, on the government test prep side, so since we've entered a very competitive course for the IAS. Yes,
I'll get back to you. If you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sudarsana Narashiman, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
This is regarding the exceptional items which you mentioned in the above 90 crores. Is it related to the school or locational? Because you mentioned that locationally 50% joint take. Does that mean, for example, at the time of listing, we will also get a share of 2:1 something like that at the time of listing, and this 90 crore is on top of it? Not able to correlate between these two, whether it is a cash flow or whether it is, one share that will be provided at the time of listing or 2:1 share. So can you throw some light on this topic?
Okay. So the 90 crores which you are seeing, that is comprised of two things. 130 crores. Non-cash gain on account of vocation segment divestiture. It was just a accounting on the consolidation books when we sold on divestiture segments, non-cash gain, which is one-time nature. On again, when we list it and we do the treasury stock accounting, that time it will be MTM accounting. As of now, we are accounting the SNBA 50% our share as an associate accounting from next quarter. So accounting will keep the associate accounting.
Thank you. Yeah, that's all the question I have. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vimal Modi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Since we are doing a plain vanilla 1:1 demerger of JK Shah, please tell me values of each part for calculation of gains for income tax purpose.
Sorry, sir. Income tax purpose?
Since we are doing a plain vanilla 1:1 demerger of JK Shah, please tell me values of each part, I mean each entity which is getting created for calculation of income, long-term or short-term gains for income tax purpose.
This will be a tax-free, it's a tax-neutral demerger which we are doing because it satisfies the definition of 249 of Income Tax Act. The demerger is from the listed entity which it gets pretty much as a vertical split. The each shareholder gets the split between shares in the, he'll held the share in the Veranda and he'll get the share in the JK Shah Commerce.
There so JK Shah will be treated as zero? JK Shah cost will be treated as zero?
So there will be a cost allocation happening at the time of listing, pre-opening sessions. So where the cost allocation of, for example, if you have purchased at 100 rupees in Veranda today, the cost bit of that ratio will be given at the time when we decide, the ratio will be accounted.
So it will be based on pre-open. It won't be based on final. Sorry. Sorry, yeah, please go on. It won't be based on financials. It will be based on pre-open.
Yes. So we'll be there. At that time, valuation will be done for the both the entities, network basis. So that time, the value will be decided, sir.
So as on network basis or on pre-open or network basis?
So we bankers are still activating on us how to do. So since it's a once NCLT approval comes, that time we'll be deciding, sir. So because we want to do it pre-opening basis, we want to do it. So unlocking the value will be there. It will be given to public as a time goes, sir.
It should be as per income tax guidelines rather, no, sir?
Yes, sir. That's what I'm saying, sir. So we'll be doing on as a regulatory basis, sir, when the listing happens. Cost allocation will be done on the number only.
Our consolidated... Our consolidated cash flow shows repayment of non-current borrowings of 310 crores.
Yes.
Can you please provide breakup?
No, that is paid, sir. It was in commerce vertical. Commerce vertical has made debt-free after this repayment. When the demerger happens, the assets and liabilities will move to the new vertical without any external borrowing on its balance sheet. It will be a debt-free entity.
So 100% is true towards JK Shah. 310 crore.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you,
sir.
Thank you, sir. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj Sarah from FinVestors. Please go ahead.
I hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are audible. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to know the trend of how the revenue recognition going quarter on quarter basis, and need a elaboration on slide number 11 of the last presentation given on the exchanges.
I think the revenue recognition, I think we spoke, sir, on the, I think on the department there is a revenue recognition skewed basis. I think based on the recognition, whenever admission happens, there will be collection wise, we will be better off, but on the revenue recognition, it will be over the next 3-4 months period. And coming to your slide query, 1 second, sir, I need to open it. Now, that was a guidance number, sir, which I was saying to the team, I think we'll be achieving 650 crores of top line with a EBITDA of 180 after rent and a 70 crores of PAT, sir. So that is both for full entity. Sorry?
The quarterly trend of revenue recognition, how Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4, how is going?
Sir, that's what I'm saying. So as of today, if you see, we have achieved a number of 290 crores on top line. So another way I'm saying that another 350 crores to be achieved in next Q3, Q4. So if I say the 350 to be split between another two means, I can say that it will be like 180 and 190 top lines. It will be on same levels.
Thank you very much and best of luck for future.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, this was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Thank you and over to you.
Thank you, Soumya. Just to summarize, this has been a very pivotal quarter for the company. As I mentioned, we achieved our highest cash collection of 170 crores this quarter. This is the highest in the history of the company. Three key events have happened during the quarter as part of our Veranda 2.0 strategy. We had raised QIP to significantly close down our debt. The commerce business demerger was approved by the restructuring committee and subsequently by the board and has already been filed with the exchanges and will in process to be able to be listed separately traded company under J.K. Shah Commerce Education Limited under the chairmanship and CEO of J.K. Shah himself. The third event that has happened, our occasional business has been merged along with SNVA EduTech, allowing us an opportunity to unlock significant value where that company is in process of being this independent, listed, and a globally available company in the near future. These three events have significantly contributed to for us to be able to achieve an EBITDA for Q2, including exceptional items of close to 100 crores of PAT. Outside of exceptional items, the company achieved a PAT closer to 24 crores in its continuing operating business and clearly expects this profit that we have achieved this quarter to be able to grow quarter on quarter from here, given that the addressable market size is significantly large. Last, and I think not the least, is significant deleverage has happened. Lot of the ICOS debt has been retired. The commerce vehicle would be debt-free. The non-commerce vehicle will switch to a low-cost single-digit percentage debt, wherein conversations with public sector banks is already ongoing. So, in short, the company had one of its best quarters, both in terms of EBITDA, significant events, and setting the stage for shareholder value being unlocked going forward as part of our 2.0 strategy. Thank you once again for all who participated in the call, and we look forward to seeing you again when we give our Q3 results.
Thank you very much, sir. On behalf of Veranda Learning Solutions Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.